Hallelujah.
You know, about four Sundays ago, we talked about David and his confidence he had in God when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then we talked about prayer and the power of prayer. Then we talked last week. We talked about staying true to the end. Wednesday, if you wasn't here, one of the things that came out of Wednesday is you got to know God for yourself. You know, it's good to read a book, an inspirational book, and get inspired. It's good to read somebody else's life story, and it motivates you. It's good to see relatives, dads, mom, uncles, grandpa, all of them serving the Lord, and it motivates you. But you must know God for yourself. Because for the longest while, we always thought, especially when I was growing up and you heard the gospel, it was come to Jesus and everything will be okay. That's what it says. Come to Jesus. And if you're having problems, Jesus can take care of it. Come to Jesus. If your husband is an alcoholic, God will take care of him. Come to Jesus. If you're struggling with a particular sin, Jesus will take care of it. And we hear that for so long, and we forget that the Christian life is a tough life. It's easier to live in sin because your conscience don't bother you a bit. But when you come to God, and you're living for God, now you have principles and guidelines by the Holy Spirit that dwells in you that tells you no, and your flesh is crying out, that is tough. And the toughest thing is to obey. And Jesus said, it's better to be obey than to give sacrifice. Y'all know that? Today we're going to continue on Matthew chapter 24. Last week we looked and we said the signs of the age. We talk about the signs of the age. Jesus put his disciples to sit down and he started to give them some things that is going to come to pass. And we learned last week that we should not be led astray. Because Jesus said to them, some will come and say, I'm the Christ. And we see that happening all over the place. Then he said, don't be alarmed when you see all the stuff happening. Tsunamis and wars and rumors of wars and twin towers being burned down and lies. He said, don't be alarmed. Then he said, don't quit. Don't quit. Some of us quit so easily. And he's saying, look, it's going to be rough, but don't quit. Why? The race is not for the swiftest, nor for the strong, but for those who endure to the end. I've never seen any horse get a prize for not leaving the boot. In fact, everybody who bet on that horse is mad. It didn't even try. I've seen no runner feel good about themselves when they quit halfway through the race. I have seen races that the last person is struggling going in and everybody is cheering them on. And they're the last person. And they're cheering them on. Why? Because they want them to finish the race. And Hebrews tells us we have a great cloud of witnesses that are there for us. And they're watching and they're cheering us on. They said it's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. But come on, you can finish the race. I know you feel that pain in your side. But you can finish the race. In fact, I watched a YouTube video of some people doing step aerobics or whatever they were doing. And I said, Jesus, help me. I wouldn't have been able to finish it. But some people, in spite of the pain, in spite of the fatigue, they finish the race. And in all of that, we cannot stop. We need to share the gospel. Today, we're going to look at a few more. So if you have your Bibles, would you open it to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start at verse 15. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. And then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let the ones who is on the housetop not come down to take what is in the house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back and take his cloak. And at last, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days has not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone say to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so that to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So I've told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Father, once again, we come to a passage that is not really exciting or telling us that we would believe it and it will come, or tell us life will be easy. But Lord, we come to the passage again that tells us in the last days it will be rough. But Father, we know we serve a God that says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I told you all that I believe, and according to what I see in Scripture, Jesus ain't coming back tomorrow. I don't care what nobody tells you. If they say Jesus could come anytime, that's kind of a lie. Why? Because there's certain things must take place before Jesus come back. And according to what Jesus said, those things has not taken place yet. And that's a fact. So don't go telling people Jesus could return at any time. Now, the time and the hour knows no man. What he said, it's like a woman in birth pains. She don't just have a baby, get pregnant tonight, and tomorrow she has the baby. There's a process. And the same thing happens in the coming of our Lord. I think this next passage here, if I was to put it in the birthing process, this next passage, I would call it the water broke. That's what I call this passage. See, all the time was just the getting to there. Do you know what happened when the water breaks? The phone rings. Honey! Water just broke. And guess what? He don't even have time to tell who he's working with. He go in. He drops everything and he dashes out that office and he jumps in that car and he's breaking every speed limit he can to get home, to get that wife. And guess what? She's already prepared. The bag is already packed. When he pulls up, it's just to go grab that wife and in the can, off. Why? The water broke. It's about the end. I think this part right here is the breaking of the water in the pregnancies. Here's what it says. We must see the abomination of desolation. We must see that. Now, most people will say it happened already, but it has not happened yet. There's going to come a time when Jerusalem, they're going to rebuild that temple. There's going to come a time when there's going to be some sort of peace. And then the evil one is going to set himself up in that temple. And that's the abomination of desolation. Daniel said this, Daniel 11, verse 31. Forth from him shall appear the profane, shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. What did I just tell you at the beginning? We must know God for ourselves. It's not they that know their father's God, meaning your earthly father, or they that know the God of whichever book you read, whichever TV program you watch. No, it's they that know their God. You have to know your God. Listen, folks, we are in a time that we need to know our God. Too many people are stepping down from knowing their God. They're giving up because life just doesn't show them what they expected. Guess what? If you're living for God, expect the unexpected. We are in a war, and there's an enemy there that is wanting to defeat us. And if we are not expecting the unexpected, we shall be defeated. Help me, Jesus. I told you guys, when I first came to Christ, I used to read the Bible. Now, I didn't read it back to front, but I used to read, and I remember reading Revelation, and I said to God, I said, God, if that's going to happen in my lifetime, take me before it get here. Serious prayer. Take me, because I don't know about you, but I don't like to suffer. Thursday, I wake up. I was doing something. I was sitting down. I sat down for a while, probably a couple hours. I don't know if I was reading the word. I can't remember. And I get up, and I had a pain in my knee, and I'm thinking, Jesus. No, it was on my birthday. I said, is this what it is like to get old? And I put my hand on it, and I prayed, and I walk around for a while, and when I go to sit down, the same pain. And I said, Jesus, what is wrong? I don't like getting old. I cannot deal with pain. I don't like pain. So if this is going to take place in my time, take me before it comes. Well, I could praise God. It went away after 3 days or so. Praise God. I even went to see James yesterday, and I was telling him, I said, I don't know how you do it, because that little pain, and I was ready to say, look, this old thing, I ain't want it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will come. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and that man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against ever so-called gods and subject of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. That had to come, folks. That ain't happened yet, but it's coming. So Jesus is not coming back tomorrow, but we have to live a life that reflects who he is, and it may take walking in some things we don't like and enjoy. One of the things, you know, that guy that wrote that book, I'm still thinking about that. He wrote the book, True Love, no, it's not True Love, wait. What's the book? Kiss Dating Goodbye. He wrote that book, and then he got married. Wife left him. He lost his God. Why? Because he truly didn't know his God. Bottom line, You have to know your God in spite of whatever happens. He didn't realize the scripture says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He didn't know how to quote that and say, listen, I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand this pain in my knee. I don't understand this, my eyesight going. I don't understand that I have to get this. I don't understand that. But I know this. My God says all things work together for my good because I love God and I trust in him. Here's another thing we have to do. And I pray the younger generation is listening today because for some reason, I can't tell you this for sure, I see the younger generation facing more of this than we are. Keep watch on Jerusalem. Keep watch on Jerusalem. It says here, verse, it says, when you see the desolation, where is it going to happen? Where is it going to happen? Here in America? In the temple. And where's the temple? In Jerusalem. So therefore, we have to be watching Jerusalem. We have to be watching the Holy Land because that is going to be our thermostat to tell us what the weather is going to be like. That's how we're going to gauge it. We have to watch him. But he says, dreadful times are coming. Now, I don't like this, and nobody would like this, but it says this. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the ones who are in the housetop not go down to take what is in the house. And let the one who are in the field not go back to take a cloak. And alas, a woman who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in the winter on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. I cannot imagine it getting worse. Come on. The Jews put in chambers, the Jews, they try to kill out the Jews. I can't imagine it being worse. Can you? I can't. I cannot put in my mind how bad, but it said here, it has never happened. Whatever is coming, it's going to be so bad that it has never been experienced before. And after that, it will never be experienced like that again. And here's what it says. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how it's going to affect America. I don't know how it's going to affect other places. We know that it's going to affect the whole world because we read that last week in the passages before. But I know in Jerusalem, they have some specific instructions. If I understand, back then, I don't know if it's still like that. I haven't been to Jerusalem, but the rooftops was flat. And some of them, you could probably go from rooftop to rooftop. And it says if you're on the rooftop in the cool of the day and you're enjoying the day, you ain't going back in the house to pick up nothing. Leave those baby pictures behind. You know what some of our problem is? We're so attached to the world. We are so attached to the world that the sound, you're going to see the evidence and you're going to be running back to pick up stuff that's not going to worth anything to you. Now that we have 4 kids at the house, well, 5, including Anya, we were instructed that we have to do fire drill. So I told them, I gave them a clue. I said, we're doing a fire drill tonight. And I went on my YouTube and find an alarm. My wife gave me the brilliant idea. I was just going to press the little button in the house. And I said, get on YouTube there. So YouTube had, and I put the alarm on. And the alarm going off and going off and going off before I hear anybody moving. We finally get out of the house. Everybody was out. One in a towel had to jump out the shower. But here's the thing. They did not respond as soon as they hear the alarm. You know what would have happened if it was a real fire and it was really blazing? They've been caught in it. This is like a warning for us. And when we see those things, should be like the alarm. Do you know, like when we're having a tornado or something, you hear the bass going, wah! What he's saying? Get down in your basement. Get into your safe place. What he's saying here, when you see that happen, when you see that person stands in the temple and proclaim himself as God, you don't even go in the house for anything. If you're in the field, don't come back. Get out. That's some plain instruction to me. But I guarantee you on that day, some people are going to know the instructions and still go downstairs to pick up a bag. See, God is able to take care of us. And that's what we don't realize. God is able to take care of us. Here's the other instruction. Pray. Pray. He tells the woman to pray. Why? He said, you better pray because if you're nursing, it'll go be rough. So pray and ask. Don't let it be time when we have a baby or we're pregnant. Or on the Sabbath. And I think what it says the Sabbath is, it's going to get back to the place where they have those strict Sabbath rules again. That's what I think. Those Sabbath rules are going to be so strict that they feel like they can't break the Sabbath. So what they're doing is, they don't want to go too far. They don't want to put too much labor in. So he says, you guys don't realize that that doesn't really count, but you better pray. Pray that this doesn't happen at this time. You know, the same thing I see in the Our Father prayer. And I pray now. It says, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. How many people pray that? How many people actually pray, God, keep me from temptation, keep me from evil. I guarantee if we go around this room, not many of us do. I guarantee you that even in this, not many women would pray that. Why? They don't see it necessary. Because Jesus has been coming ever since he left, more than 2,000 years ago. So maybe we have another 2,000 years, we're okay. He said to pray. Next thing it says, God can take care of you. It says, God can take care of you. Look what it says. Now, I like this part, eh? It says, For if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. I like that verse. I don't like to suffer. But anytime you could get rid of the pain, I don't mind how long I had it, I am thankful. I remember when my first kidney stone, I got up 3 o'clock in the morning with a pain I never experienced before. It was new to me. And I didn't wake up anybody. I just paced in the house, holding my back and praying. Pacing the house, holding my back and praying. About 5 o'clock, I said, Jill, get up, take me to the hospital and take me now. The pain, I didn't want it anymore. I get to the hospital. I'm laying in the bed for about an hour and a half, and I still got the pain. I finally had to say, are you guys going to give me something to get rid of this pain? They finally give me something to bring it down a little bit. Let me tell you something. I was happy when the pain was gone. Even though I had suffered. Once I suffered how many hours? Soon as that pain was gone, I was happy. So I'm glad. I am ecstatic that the days would be cut short for the elect's sake. No, it didn't say that we wouldn't have days. It says they will be cut short. Why? Because if they wasn't cut short, even the very elect will give up. That's how bad it's going to be. It could be so bad that God will say, okay, it's time to cut it short. My folks are starting to shake a little bit. So God can take care of you. What are you going through? I know we're not even, in my opinion, we're not even there yet. What it is that you're going through right now in your life that you may be willing right now to just give up. Give up your faith. Give up everything. And you're not even going through things that you have not seen or not heard. What is coming is going to be so bad. What you have going through right now is nothing. Do y'all realize that? How do I know that? It says it has never been like that. And after it happened, it will never be like that again. But I know one thing. God, him who has begun a good work in you, can keep you till the end. Jesus said, whoever my Father gives me, no one could come and pluck them out of my hands. Why? Because God is going to take care of you. I don't care what you're going through right now, that you feel like you're in the tribulation. You feel like it's too much. Guess what? God is able to take care of you. He knows how much you'll bear. It says he will not allow you to bear more than you can bear. That's what it says in the scriptures. Do you believe that? So many times I said, God, you have more faith in me than me. He said, here again he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I think the first part is what we experience, because there was a guy in Florida, he said he's Christ, and he had followers. Right now, there's one in California, and not even, and he's Jesus. And guess what? There's a lady with him, is Mary Magdalene. So we have it right now, but in comparison, when you hear the water break, it's a whole different ball game. Because hear what it says. That they will do great signs and wonders. I haven't seen anyone that proclaimed to be Jesus right now doing great signs and wonders. I haven't seen that. I know they proclaim it. But it says here, listen how great the signs are. Let's read it. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, it says, then if anyone say to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophet will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. If possible, even the elect. You know what's going to happen? I truly believe when the water breaks, there's going to be many Christians that are going to be led astray because we run after signs and wonders. We do. Instead of running after Jesus, a lot of us run after signs and wonders, and I'm one of them. Because I always say, if God moving, I want to be there. I took the youth group and we went to Pensacola, Florida to see the revival happening in Pensacola, Florida. And when I got there, I was disappointed. But in this time, it's going to be so miraculous. I could just see it. People getting up out of their wheelchairs. I could see it. I could see the dead being raised. Because let me tell you, it's going to be so miraculous that you and all may believe, hey, he is here. Look what Jesus did when he walked. Remember, we're going to know that. They'll be casting out their own demons. We're going to be so amazed. We'll be packing up the youth group in a 17-passenger van, and we'll be driving to wherever they are because we think Jesus is there. But he said, do not be deceived. Because even the very elect can be, but if it's possible, because it's not going to be possible. Why? Because believers are going to know their God. And believers are going to know their word. And here's why. You will know when Jesus returns. Do you know you're going to know when Jesus returns? We all going to know when Jesus returns. Both save and unsave alike going to know when Jesus returns. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and shine as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Even the corpse, wherever the corpse is, there will, there the will gather. Now, how far he's going to, how far the Bible says he's going to cast your sins away? And how far is the lightning when it shines? So what that tells you, it's going to be seen everywhere. It's going to be seen everywhere. When Jesus is about to come back and he and God says, son, go get my people, guess what? Everybody going to know it. It's going to be like fireworks all over the world. You can't miss it. So guess what? If you decide you're going to go see Christ somewhere else before you see that sign, shame on you. Why? Because you didn't look at the word of God and you didn't understand that Jesus said, I'm telling you this so you will not be deceived. And then it says this, I thought about this for a while. What it mean by corpse and vultures? What does that have to do with anything? I'm thinking about it, I read some commentaries, some say this, some say that. Because that word could be also defined as eagle instead of vulture. And I'm wondering, but you know something? I know where dead animals are. Do you know that? I live out in the country. And ever so often I see some black things just going like this. And I could tell something dead over there. You know I could tell that? Why? Because the sign is in the sky. Guess what? When Jesus is coming back, the sign is going to be in the sky. We're not going to have any mistakes. And let me, I tell this, it's going to be hard for some people not to go see Jesus in California. Right now, the guy who called himself Jesus in California, he has a following. If he didn't have a following, he would have been already died off and gone. But he has a following. He has a website. And if you read it, it sounds real nice too. But people are following him. But they didn't realize that Jesus said this, when I return, you will know it because there's going to be some display in the sky. Now, the closest thing I could think of is fireworks. That's what I could think of. But I think it'll be even more powerful than that. Could you imagine fireworks with lightning? You could imagine lightning. We get scared when we see a little bit of lightning. But can you imagine it? Boy, I could. It'll be something fearful and something wonderful at the same time. So here's my words to you. Know your God. Don't matter what you're going through. God says this. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why do you feel that he's gone when you're going through rough stuff? Is it because of what you've been taught? You taught that Christians don't go through rough stuff? Well, according to this, if it wasn't rough, they wouldn't have to leave anything behind and run to the hills, to the mountains. Folks, there's coming a time that is going to be rougher than what we're going through right now. Think if we have to go through what this is talking about, can you hold on to your faith? Can you hold on and believe in the God that you say you believe in right now? Or are you the type of person that everything that does, when it goes wrong, you give up your faith? Or you say, well, it doesn't happen for me. Maybe I'm not. Listen, I don't know why bad things happen to good people. Yes, I do. We live in a sinful world. Why do bad things happen to Christians? We live in a sinful world. We're still in this flesh. We're still in this world. And we're still in a war. But your responsibility is to hold on until the end. I am so thankful that they put a bar. When I went on to that roller coaster ride, I was so thankful that they put a bar across my lap. And it looked like something over my shoulder. Because brothers and sisters, when it got to the top of the hill, the top, you know, the top, and my heart started pounding, and I can't see the rails anymore, I am ready to get off. But I praise God that He gives us the Holy Spirit that straps us in. And no matter how many twists and turns and flips that roller coaster makes, what God has begun can bring it to completion. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this morning that we realize that Christians will have pain. Christians will have suffering. Christians will go through hard times. And God, we thank you because all things work together for the good. To those who love you and are called according to your purpose, we pray, God, that you will just help us as we look at your word to realize that what you require of us is obedience in spite of the pain, in spite of the suffering, in spite of what we're going through. You still want us to live according to your guidelines, your precepts, your rules. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that this morning we realize that you take care of what's yours, that you cut the time shorter just for us, that you are with us always, even to the end of this age. Father, help us, O God, in everything that we do to bring honor and glory to your name. And Father, give us the strength never to give up, and let Holy Spirit keep us trapped in to your presence in spite of our circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, go and be blessed.